Hi, and welcome to the radio version of DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. At our microphones today is James Spencer, Eddie Ellis, and our Community Supervision Officer, William Lane. And gentlemen, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Gentlemen, we're here to talk about Reentry Month, the fact that the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency every January does a series of events to focus on people coming out of the prison system and the fact that if you have programs, this is my supposition, that if you have programs for offenders as they come out, there is a better chance for them to become taxpayers, not tax burdens, to stop recidivating, to stop doing drugs, to stop committing crime. It's the whole idea behind this concept of Reentry Month, or the 30 days of reentry reflection. If we have programs, people will do better as they come out of prison. If we have supervision, if we have drug testing, if we have the whole shebang, people will do better. So that's the issue with the program today. James, the first question is going to go to you. Now, tell me a little bit about your background, who you are.
Hello, my name is James Spencer. I'm 23. I just came back into society on June 1st after doing 5 years incarcerated in the federal system.
Okay, what were you incarcerated for?
I was locked up for assault with a deadly weapon, and the weapon was a gun.
Okay. And Eddie, your background, please?
My name is Eddie Ellis, and I just came home after doing 14 and a half years in prison for manslaughter while on.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, let me be blunt, and you guys can be blunt right back, as we did with another program that we did on women offenders when I was discussing it with Henrietta Meeks, who has also served, I think, 3 times in prison. The average person listening to this program is going to say, well, James, well, Eddie, you done did nasty things. Why should we help you? We've got programs for kids that are that's not being funded. We've got programs for the elderly that's not being funded. You guys have charged and did prison time in the federal prison system for doing some dangerous stuff. Why should we give you guys a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance? Why should we invest our tax-paid dollars for programs to help you out when there are so many other deserving causes? James, why don't you give that a whirl?
I've been on the journey to get a better understanding of who I am and a better understanding of what society means to me and what society has to offer me. While I was incarcerated, I did some things that helped me have a better lifestyle for when I came back home. I achieved getting my GED. I've read books to have better knowledge of who I am and where I've come from as far as my heritage. I've spoke with other men who will never come home, and it was just a blessing for them to be able to talk to me, knowing that someday I will go back out in society, and hopefully some of the things that they've told me, I can come out here and perform and do better in society. Since I've been home, I've been able to have 3 different jobs. So everybody's saying the statistics of being able to find employment, that's false of how hard it is. It is difficult. I don't want to mislead anyone. It is difficult for to come home from prison and get a job, but it all reflects on that individual. If you want to change, you will change. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame my background. I can't blame my charge. All I can do is blame me, and I can use that same thing that holds me back to motivate me as I'm doing right now.
James, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Eddie, how old are you?
31.
Okay. The statistics basically say that you guys aren't going to do well. I mean, that's the hard, cold reality of the situation. You take a look at national statistics, and it talks about close to 70% of the individuals coming back to the criminal justice system for a new charge, close to 50% being reincarcerated. That's the hard, cold reality. Eddie, when I give you those figures, what's going through your mind?
Well, me, myself, I don't really follow statistics because it could be misleading, for one, because it's a lot of brothers out here coming out of prison who want to do right if given the opportunity to do right. You know, and people in the community are giving up on us too soon. You know, and they expect a lot of us to come home like myself. I went to jail when I was 16. I'm 31 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a job before I went to jail. So now I'm coming home to something new. You know, and it's been a struggle, but it's been fun because I got my freedom back and I'm having a chance to work and better my life. You know, but the statistics only speak about the negative part of people coming home. You know, and the need to have people speak about the things that people do right. Mm-hmm. Like me and his brother sitting beside me, because there's a lot of us that do right.
Right.
You know, but it's the lack of programs that's in the community for us is what's holding a lot of us back, because of the programs that is out here that's present, they are too crowded and they pushing too many people back. You might have to go to a class and wait 6 months to get in the class, when I think the federal government should fund these programs so we can have an opportunity to do right.
All right, I'm going to get into this one more time and either one of you can deal with it, because I want to deal with what's real. I want to deal with the perceptions on the part of citizens. We're talking about reentry month. We're talking about 30 days of reentry reflection. We're talking about people coming back out of the prison system. We're talking about helping them. But the average person listening to this program right now is going to say, you know, every night I turn on the TV and somebody's doing somebody else wrong. And they're all out of prison. And so you get that almost, and this is night after night after night after night, and it's true. People coming out of prison doing nasty things to other human beings. That's most people's perceptions of offenders. That's people's perceptions of you guys. How do you respond to that?
Well, me personally, I say that corruption, crime, and misfortunes have been a part of our society and world forever. Those things are going to happen. What can you do to help a person that wants to change? Not a person who comes home and plans to do the same thing again. They're a lost cause. We're talking about the guys who want to change.
What percentage do you think, James, folks coming out of the prison system want to change? Now, virtually everybody that I've ever talked to coming out of prison, they all say that they're not going back, and yet so many do. So there's a big disconnect between the person saying, I'm not coming back, and seeing his face back in the prison system 12 months later. If we had the programs, all the programs that were necessary, drug treatment, mental health treatment, employment, doesn't matter. What percent of the people coming out of prison, in your opinion, would make it, become taxpayers instead of what I call tax burdens?
My opinion, I don't believe in a specific percentage. I do believe in opportunity.
All right.
You don't know what any individual is going to do, but you know what they will do if they don't have an opportunity.
What will they do then?
You know the possibility.
Tell me
of
what
them,
that.
The possibility of an individual breaking law without an opportunity is much higher than a person who has an opportunity. This is what this is about: funding programs, different programs that can help a person participate to make a positive transition back into society.
What do you think those programs should be?
More jobs. In the federal prison system, they've cut back on a lot of vocational training.
Okay.
And some guys, they have college courses, which you must pay for now.
Right. And there's no longer any public funding for college courses.
No, sir.
And by the way, I know this drives people crazy, because they say, why should he get, the guy does an armed robbery and he gets a free college education, and yet I'm out here and I can't supply a college education for my kids. That's a real issue. But at the same time, the research was never stronger in terms of people who had got those college programs in prison had the lowest rates of recidivism.
I like that you just said that. Somebody listening to you just found out something new. I agree with that. That is true. And because I agree with that, that's why they should put something like that back into the federal system. A guy who has no money, your scenario, the bank robber, he has no money. He wants a better education. He's trying to rehabilitate himself. He's doing 12 years straight, but he wants to rehabilitate himself. He has no extra money. He works on the compound for $12 a month. His college course, his books are $36 a month. Mm. He has no outside support. Now, this man is sitting here letting his misery build up because he strives to do something better, but he can't. So 12 years from now, he comes back into society. He's not your neighbor. He's not your neighbor. But he's back into society. Now, what does the public do to him? He goes and he tries himself for a job without no education, without no past knowing of how to do anything, but maybe wash or cook food for the past 12 years.
It's always been my contention that talking to the average person out in society is that, what do you want? Do you want them to come back and commit additional crimes, or do you want them to come back and become taxpayers? What do you want? Without the programs, it's almost inevitable that there's going to be a lot of people, especially younger people. It's almost inevitable that they're going to return to crime. Now, that people find that difficult because they're saying, well, Leonard, if it's that inevitable, why am I bothering anyway? I mean, let's put the money into the educational program. Let's put money into for the elderly. The question becomes, when they come back, do we want offenders to come back ready to be taxpayers, ready to be contributing members of society? And most male offenders coming out of prison, 70% of them have kids. So it's just not about them. It's about their children as well. If we had the programs in place, the recidivism rate would drop. That's our contention, and drop considerably. That's our contention. Eddie, do you want to come in on this?
Yes, what I'd like to say about that is, when you have certain programs in place, you give a person a better chance to try and help himself. I don't care how many programs you have out here, you're going to have people fall through the crack and do what they do.
Right.
You know, but in the same breath, you must put programs there that's going to help people. You got a lot of guys in jail think there's no jobs out here. And I think it's the probation office or whoever office that deal with these guys coming out on probation and parole to inform these guys 30 days to 60 days before they come home about these self-help programs that they can use, mm-hmm. and things like that. And as far as people thinking that we can't change and we can't do right, you know, that's just not right. Because a lot of us can change. And for those who, regular citizens that go see psychologists and counselors for whatever they go see them for, you go see them to deal with your issues. Those are your personal issues. If you feel that you can change dealing with your depression and whatever you go through in your everyday life, why can't they? You know, because problems are problems, whether they're small problems or big problems. And if you take these programs away from us, what's going to happen when we come home?
That's the question. What's going to happen?
But see, something bad might happen.
Something bad probably because is going to happen. People, that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah, but see, people keep complaining about us getting funded in prison and having these programs, but in the same breath, they complain about a lot of people coming out in society and breaking law.
Right.
How can you complain on one side of your face about us breaking law and then complain about us getting help in jail with programs funded? You know, I'm just saying, if you're going to walk a line, walk the line. Get us some help. Put the programs in place so a person can help themselves, those who want to help themselves. Those who don't want to help themselves, they're not going to help themselves. But don't punish us that's trying to do right, you know, by criticizing us and making it harder for us to get jobs.
I'm going to say this much because I tried to get it out of you guys, but I couldn't get it out of you guys. My experience of being in the criminal justice system for the last now 37 years, and that's really dating me, but in terms of working directly with offenders, which is probably going on for the last 20 years, is that this is the way that I've always put it, that a third, if you give them the help, they're done deals. They're going to take care of their own business. Now, that's a tremendous amount of people. I mean, we're talking about, within this country on a yearly basis, we're talking about 650,000 people coming out of prison every year. That's a third out of 650,000. Every year, about 2,300 people come back to the District of Columbia. That's a lot of people, okay? A third are on the fence because they may go one way or the other, and a third just, it doesn't matter, right or wrong. That's my opinion. You guys chime in. James?
I see you're basically about statistics, but the statistics aren't always true. Look at prison. Prison, when everyone gets sent to prison, the number one thing that they say is rehabilitation.
Right.
How are you going to rehabilitate a man if you have nothing to offer him but cell, food, and water?
All right, that's a good point. That's a good point. But we talk about rehabilitation. That's what I'm trying to get from you guys. We talk about rehabilitation. We talk about reentry. Is the talk equal to the reality?
By far, no. That's why we're concentrating so much, me and Ed, on our opinions, have basically been all about programs. What programs do you have to offer? What programs will you put into place? You've been specific. You've been asking, what can they do? What programs do I feel as though they should offer? And I've told you, job training programs. They should have never took the college courses out of the federal facility. They took parole away from D.C., and they took the education away from D.C. So what they're doing in D.C., from my perspective and what I see, is they just locking you up. Time. Time is your rehabilitation in D.C. now. Mm-hmm. My opinion of what rehabilitation should be is, okay, you see, you've done your crime.
Mm-hmm.
As you do your time, we're going to teach you a different way to do something else. So when you get back into society, you can do what you've learned. Now, I just did 5 years in the federal facility. They're teaching you nothing. Your other inmates, prisoners, convicts, or however a person may want to categorize them, are the only teachers there, basically. You have a guy who opens the cell, locks the cell. You have a case manager who tells you when it's almost time to go home, when you need to pay your fines, and that's it. That's what prison is right now from what I've saw for the past 5 years.
Okay.
So what they need to do, the federal government, you know, because we have a lot of money for other things, but what I feel as though the federal government should do is help these prisoners that's coming into their system now, because later when they do get out, you still have your same problem.
Eddie?
I agree with everything he said. I agree with everything he said. And my focus is basically now on the programs that should be in place. And my focus is also with these kids out here. The same thing. The government, D.C. government, have money to make a new national stadium and talk about building a new D.C. United Stadium, but they don't have the money to fund programs for these little kids out here and for people that's coming home in prison. And that's the stuff I don't understand.
William Ware, I'm going to involve you in the conversation, and I'm going to move the microphone over so you can get involved in the conversation. We've heard from James. We've heard from Eddie. They've both been very dramatic, and I appreciate their comments. The Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency that we belong to is a federal independent executive branch agency. We are the parole and probation entity for the District of Columbia. We provide pretty strict supervision. We have lower caseloads, probably, than any place else in the country. We have a lot of contact with offenders. We drug test the dickens out of them. We also have a wide array of programs for them. But you've heard what James and Eddie said. Do you have a response in terms of the programmatic themes that they're presenting?
Yes, sir. I mean, I feel that there are a lot of programs available in the district. I'm not too familiar with the prison facilities, and I'm sure there probably could be more. I think rehabilitation would be the way to go, or is the way to go. I think that anyone without opportunity, anyone without the training, anyone without the employment, anyone without the education is already a step behind everyone else in society. In order for anyone to come out of prison, to change their lifestyle, they need to be skills taught. They need to be training. There needs to be everything that you have already talked about in order for them to change their lifestyles. If people are ready to make that change and the training and the services are in place, then I think they're more than likely going to make that change. If nothing is in place, then there's no change to make.
One of the things that strikes me, William, is just the conversation regarding reentry, because I'm familiar with the research throughout the country. I've talked to a lot of my counterparts throughout the country, and we do an awful lot of talking about reentry. We talk an awful lot about offenders coming out of prison and what could be done with them, should be done with them, but yet I'm struck at the reality of so many states throughout the country that, quite frankly, very little is done. I mean, the overwhelming majority of offenders in the prison system have substance abuse histories, drug histories, alcohol histories, yet the overwhelming majority don't get drug treatment while in the prison system. The waiting list for the different programs are endlessly long. So there's a big gap between our discussion on what should be done, and I think we heard that pretty clear from James and Eddie. And if we had the programs, a good number of offenders would do better than returning back to the criminal justice system. But there's a gap between what we say we want to do and what we are doing throughout the country. So how serious are we about reentry becomes the question.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it would take a significant dedication of resources in order to service all of the offenders, all of the inmates who need to be serviced. The dedication isn't there. I mean, we're talking about, let's be real, we're talking about people who have committed crimes against society, people who have done things to other people that most of society would look at as horrible, horrific things.
But that's my point in terms of that gap between what we say and what we do.
There's definitely a gap.
And I understand the reason for the gap. I mean, we talked about this again, and James and Eddie, I'm going to give you the chance to come in on this again if you want to come in on this again. The average person out there wants to take Eddie, wants to take James, and basically said, man, you done terrible things. I'm not going to support anything for you at all. Now, that's their privilege. And I understand why they feel that way. I truly do understand. We all understand why they feel that way. But the hard, cold reality is if they're not properly supervised, that's an important component of this. And if they don't get the programs that are necessary, they're probably going to go back to hurting you, me, my kids, their kids, society.
You're absolutely right. At the same time, the James and the Eddies of the world aren't going to stay locked up forever. They are going to come home. They need to have somewhere to come home to and be able to be productive members of society. We can't just turn our backs on them and act like they don't exist, because they do. You have crime all throughout the city, all throughout the nation. Crime is a serious problem. But the only way we're going to actually get to the root of the problem and actually change people's behaviors and change their lifestyles is by giving them services. I mean, they can't do it on their own. No one can do anything on their own. It's going to definitely take dedication of services and of society as a whole in order to make that change.
Now, I've done a lot of talk radio, and I've been a proponent or an advocate of services for people coming out of the prison system for a long time. And I get a lot of angry calls from citizens, and they're basically saying, hey, they had their shot. It's called an education system. They had a perfect opportunity to go and get an education through high school or to go to a trade school, which is what I did. I didn't go out and hold somebody up. I didn't go out and burglarize their home. So why am I rewarding these guys? And I guess our quick answer is that we want to prevent more crime. We want to see their kids taken care of responsibly. We want to see them pay taxes, not being a burden to society, but a taxpayer. I guess that's my answer. But there are people who basically object to it.
Everyone hasn't been provided the same opportunities throughout their lifetimes. Everyone grew up differently. Environment isn't the determining factor. Nothing is a determining factor. The decisions that we make throughout our lives, is what determines what happens to us in our life. Because someone made a bad decision, they shouldn't be defined by that bad decision throughout their whole entire life. They should be allowed to make changes. They shouldn't be held back. They should be given the opportunity to make change. And if you turn your back, there's no way that they can make that change.
The point that I make is that there's research from the Department of Justice now that talks about the majority of people having mental health problems. This is self-reported. This is not a diagnosable condition of a mental health problem. This is self-reported. And it just strikes me that if a person comes out of the prison system, and let's say they have a diagnosable mental health issue, that person is bound to get caught back up in the criminal justice system unless he has treatment. I mean, it seems to be inevitable. You don't provide the mental health treatment, the person is going to hurt somebody else, the person's going to go back to prison. You provide the mental health treatment, you provide that person with a chance. I mean, the mental health aspect of it seems to be clear cut to everybody, which regardless of what political persuasion you happen to be.
Now, I wouldn't say that everyone with a mental health problem is going to definitely go back to prison or do something horrible to people, but with services, they are more likely to get the medications that they might need, the therapy that they might need, and do better, absolutely.
I guess I'm talking about the odds, because I'm not talking about mental health people in general. I'm talking about people who have committed a crime bad enough to go into the prison system and come out who need mental health treatment. I mean, it seems highly likely that person may return.
Absolutely, but that isn't just confined to the mental health community, but to all inmates, all anyone ever convicted of a crime.
Right. Well, that's the broader sense, and that's why we're doing this program, because it's just not about mental health. It's about drug treatment. It's about anger management. It's about finding a job. It's about job training. It's about getting a GED. I mean, the package has got to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to go back to James and Eddie, and I'm going to move the microphone one more time. Gentlemen, do you have any comments to what I just said or what William just said?
Well, on the topic of mental health, they say any person that goes to prison and comes back home and goes back in again must have some insanity. Because insanity, the meaning of insanity in the dictionary says anyone who chooses to do the same thing and think that they will get different results.
Mm-hmm.
So every person walking around here in society is a little insane, because we've all did something and tried to go and do it again and think we were going to get different results. Mm-hmm. So A person committing a crime doesn't always mean that their brain is really messed up. Mm-hmm. That person could have genuinely made a mistake, or that person could have been very conscious of what they were doing, mm-hmm. and chose to go ahead and commit that crime, whatever mm-hmm. it may have been.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel as though I'm not mentally insane. Mm-hmm. I feel as though that I'm a very cool person. I'm sociable. Right. I can hold a conversation with you. I have character. Mm-hmm. I'm respectable. I conduct myself with a good character.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a situation in my lifetime where I chose to do something that was wrong. Now that I'm back into society, I don't look at myself as my charge, as you said some people will perceive me as. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we never discussed our charges and just had a basic conversation about this topic, you may have thought that neither one of us may have never been in prison. Because me just meeting this man, I would never believe that he just did 15 years incarcerated. He's not shell shocked.
The bottom line is that you're everybody's neighbor. You're everybody's friend. You're out there. You're a productive part of society. You represent something that the rest of us deal with on a daily, day-to-day basis. We may not realize it.
Yes, sir. I sure do. I am a model resident.
Okay.
My charge is not. Does not describe my
does
character.
Does not define who you are.
Exactly. And, right. And I don't feel as though people should categorize every person that commits a crime in that category. People who've committed crimes, you have some wrong people who may continue to commit crimes. But just because a person has made a mistake or done wrong doesn't mean that they're out. They should be an outcast to society.
Okay, James, you're going to have the final word. I mean, Eddie, you're going to have the final word on this.
What I want to say is on this topic, it's a lot of things that happen in this world that's going to continue to happen, you know, and we need to do is what we need to do in society is try to reach out to those who need the help and who want the help. It's when you going to have people who be judgmental and be frustrated. They dealing with their emotions. They don't know what took place in these people's lives to make them do what they did. But they passing judgment on somebody, throw them away. They don't need help. But when this same person you talk about throw away don't need help, move next door to you, and something happened to you, then you wondering why, or your family wondering why. This is the same person that you didn't want to get help, but he wanted help or she wanted help. And all I'm saying is that I know a lot of good people in jail that I met in jail that made some dumb choices. You understand? And they are being defined and judged by the choices that they made. But I know a lot of them are productive people in prison, sending their money home to their kids, sending their money home to their mother, sending their money home to their little sisters and brothers, sending letters home that's constructive and positive to help keep them online. But none of this stuff is being spoken about. You know, it's like this week, on the week of the 17th, I'm going to go speak at a school to little kids. And this is something that I always wanted to do because people spoke to me, but I didn't listen to it. I didn't know how to take heed to what they were saying. So I want to go out there and do my part. You know, I don't want to do it for no publicity. I want to do it because I want to help somebody.
I want you both back for other programs because this is a very intriguing conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the radio version of DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. At our microphones today, James Spencer, Eddie Ellis, and William Ware, a community supervision officer. Our website is www.csosa.gov. Have yourself a very pleasant day.